The subjects are very important today. They're running along the lines of consecration, a very important subject. Let's turn to Numbers 8 for our reading this morning. And the title of the sermon is A Picture of a God-Possessed People. A Picture of a God-Possessed People. Numbers chapter 8, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And here's a chapter which perhaps some of you have never read, or if you come across it, you hastily skip it and look for something more digestible. Well, I know the habits of Christian readers. They come across a difficult passage and they just leap over it, and they say, well, we'll come back to that sometime when our minds are a little more alert. So let's read it this morning, at least in part, Numbers chapter 8, and we begin to read at verse 5. The subject of Numbers 8 is the consecration of the Levites, a God-possessed people. Verse 5 then of Numbers 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meal offering, even fine flour mingled with oil. And another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron, and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them, and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when they come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning them. So did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. Now God will bless to us, we know, this reading we've just taken from his holy word. Now, dear friends, let's open our Bibles at Numbers chapter 8, a passage which may have been rather mysterious and formidable to some of you, although others may be familiar with it. And we're going to think today of a picture of a God-possessed people. It's a very important subject, and I'll be dealing with the same subject tonight, if you would be so good as to come along and hear it. Now that we've located the passage, let's just bow together in prayer. We're going to be looking into this passage in the next 25 minutes, half an hour. It's not very long, really, to give to God. We'll be asking God to speak to us through this word of his, relevantly and powerfully, instructively, and even life-changingly. Father, thy word abideth, and our footsteps guideth. Save us from treating your word as a reference for troublesome times, as a history of ancient times, and help us to see it as your guide for our time. May we hear with meekness your word to our hearts this morning. And as we look at this picture of a God-possessed people, may this church be known in Lisburn as a people God possesses in this day and in this age in which we live, for Jesus' sake. Amen. At the end of the Old Testament, God speaks through Malachi the prophet about people who have been faithful to him in a difficult period. And in his speaking, God reveals his heart in a very wonderful way. He discloses his heart's desire. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. They shall be mine, saith the Lord. So God wants people. Isn't that very simple? God wants people. God is the creator of the universe, the ruler and sustainer of the universe. God is the owner of the universe. The cattle upon a thousand hills are his. But God wants people. He wants people. And God will have a people. Right at the end of the New Testament, in Revelation 21, John hears a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people." Isn't that wonderful? Despite the hostility of the world, despite the apathy of the church, God will have his people. They shall be his people, and he will be their God. Now you say, Pastor, is it important for us to know that? It is. You see, we give God what he doesn't want, and we keep from God what he does want. And that must be very disappointing to God. God doesn't want big, beautiful buildings. God's not interested in big, beautiful buildings. God doesn't want wonderfully dressed congregations. God's not interested in wonderfully dressed congregations. God doesn't want clever organization. God's not interested in clever organization. God doesn't want eloquent sermons or glorious music. God is not interested in these things. God wants people. And now you can sink into mental torpor for the rest of the sermon because you've heard it. But I hope you're interested enough to keep awake. God wants you. God wants me. God wants people. He wants to be able to say of us, they are mine. They belong to me and to no one else. And we must stop giving God what he doesn't want. And we must start giving God what he does want. And you say, if you're not fully awake and haven't been listening to me, what does he want? He wants you. He wants you. Victoria was singing that, was she not, in the hymn of consecration last Sunday evening? Frances Ridley Havergal's great hymn. And she homes in, does Frances Ridley Havergal, right at the beginning and right at the end. Take my life and let it be. Take myself and I will be. And you see, if God has us, everything else is given to him. Our money, our time, our talents, everything. But he must have us. God wants you. God wants people. Now that brings us to Numbers chapter 8. And let me just sketch in very quickly what's happening here. In Numbers chapter 8, the Levites are being consecrated to God. Because God wants people. The whole nation has failed, but the Levites were singularly faithful when the nation fell away at the time of the golden calf. And God now moves from a whole nation to a tribe. And he says, if I cannot have the whole nation, and I cannot, they have failed, I will have at least a tribe. I will have the Levites. And the central verse of Numbers chapter 8 is verse 14b, right at the end. And the Levites shall be mine. You see, God wants people. The whole nation fails, commits apostasy, but here is one tribe. And God says, they shall be mine. And if you can't understand the chapter, and there's a lot of it ritualistic and difficult and not applicable to the present day, the essence of the chapter is, it's a picture of a God-possessed people. Out of all the nation, have you got it? God selects one tribe. And he says in verse 14, they shall be mine. He still wants people. Still wants people. Now, I've called this a picture of a God-possessed people because it is only a picture. And you could come to me at the end of the service, pray do not, and say to me, but there's lots here that's Old Testament. There's lots here that's ritualistic. There's lots here that doesn't apply to me. Of course there is. That's its setting. But there are certain principles which apply to us today. And I want you now to look at them with me in a very simple way. You say, Pastor, God wants me. God wants you. God wants people. I must stop giving God what he doesn't want and give him what he wants, and that's me. What kind of person ought I to be as God's possessed person? What kind of people have we to be, collectively, as God's possessed people? I'm going to be very simple this morning. I was heartened by our preacher last week, who in the evening said, of course you know all this, but I'm telling you again because you haven't acted upon it. That's a good way to approach Scripture. So I'm going to say things which some of you know already, but I want you to hear them again, as though you had never, ever, ever heard them before. First of all, if you look at the chapter and the first verse we read, verse 5, you will see that God wants a separated people. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel. Separate them. There they are until this moment, one of 12 tribes. There's nothing distinctive about them. There's nothing different about them. They are simply the tribe of Levi. Take them from among the nation and separate them. The wonderful thing is this, dear friend, the exciting thing is this. By nature, the Levites weren't different. Simeon and Levi are instruments of cruelty, said Jacob. They did not have a distinctive ancestry. They weren't special in the sense that naturally they were different. It was God's grace that made them different. It was God who had put it into their hearts to be loyal at the time of defection. And it's God who now comes and says, take this ordinary tribe, which has no special status, and separate them from among the whole mass of the people. And if you look at the chapter, and if you look at verse 9, you'll see that all that follows hinges on this fact. The fact is, the Levites couldn't be consecrated until they were separated. They couldn't be consecrated until they were separated. Separation was the first thing that had to happen. Take them from among the people. Verse 9, bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation. And gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. You see, God's doing this. He's making a distinction between the Levites and everyone else. Now, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. God is not looking for oddities. He's not looking for you to be odd. Don't make up your mind to be awkward. Only makes it awkward for the pastor. But do make up your mind, you've got to be different. You cannot be the same as everybody else in every respect and be God's possession. After a long time, a surprisingly long time, the British Army made a discovery. And I'm sure they made a discovery from the world of nature. And the discovery was camouflage. You see, for a long time they'd sent men out in red coats to fight a war. Now, there's nothing dafter than send men out in red coats to fight a war. A red coat and a green background makes a wonderful target. So these wise generals at last tumbled to it and they said, let's dress our men up like their background and give them brown and green and black trousers and suits to wear. And of course that's what camouflage is coloured like, isn't it? But dear friends, you cannot be a camouflaged Christian. In a sense, you've got to go back to the red coats. You are expected to be different, so that people may look at you and without any trouble know that you belong to Jesus. Victor was talking about that in our prize giving this morning. The marks of a Christian. Now there are some marks they cannot see, but there are evidences they must see. And you cannot belong to God until you've got rid of the camouflage, you stop merging with the background, and you become a distinctively different person. You say, but you told me that's dangerous. That's right. It is dangerous. You then become a target for the devil, and then you become a target for the sneers and the jibes of the world. But that's part of being a Christian. Getting rid of the camouflage and standing out distinctively for God. And the Levites are first of all marked by separation. The people God possesses, a God-possessed people, must be a separated people. Mark number two. Well, mark number two in this consecration of the Levites is, secondly, the people possessed by God are a separated people, and the people possessed by God are a cleansed people. Let's go back to verse 6. Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. Make them clean. Actually, when you go home, look up this chapter and count the number of times the word or the verb to cleanse is used. It's used, I think, 4 times in the chapter. And the word purify is also used. Now let me explain what the word cleansed means. The word to cleanse means to make so clean that God says it's clean. Are you still thinking with me? To make so clean that God says it's clean. Now, I once was a wee boy. That might astonish some children here this morning, but it's true. Sometimes I wish I was still a wee boy. It's great fun in the summer holidays. Now, as a wee boy, I had my own standards of cleanliness. Let me tell you what they were. We use the word to dicht in Scotland. The verb to dicht means to give a quick wipe. So you dicht the dishes by giving them a very quick wipe. Now, my method of cleanliness was to get the face towel, not the face cloth, and to give my face a quick dicht. And then I'd shout, "Mom, I'm clean." But my mother's standards of cleanliness were somewhat different from that. She was the behind-the-ears scrutinizing type of person. And even going into the ears scrutinizing type of person. So she made sure, at least on a Friday night, that I was clean. So you see, the story is this in Leviticus 8. It's not what the Levites thought was clean. It's what God thought was clean. And now look at the verses which follow from verse 6. And you will see there's an awful lot of cleaning to be done. You see that? There is cleaning here of sprinkling water, verse 7, of purifying. There is cleaning of shaving the flesh. There is cleaning of washing their clothes. And then later on in the chapter, there is the cleaning of atonement being made for their sins. Until in the end, God says they are clean. Anything that could harbor dirt was washed. The flesh, the hair, the clothes. Dirt clings. Dirt holds. Dirt adheres. And as far as the Levites were concerned, they had to purify themselves until at last God said, "They're clean enough for me." Can I say this very simply? God cannot possess you until you are clean. God cannot have a dirty possession. And how difficult it is to be clean in this world in which we live. I am told that it's only after a certain time on television that suggestive programs are shown. But I know that it's becoming only safe to watch television at very selective periods. And it may not be safe at all if things go the way they are. We are living in a morally polluted atmosphere. And we must come to Christ initially and say, cleanse me and save me. Take all my sins away. And we must come to God continually. And we must say daily, O God, cleanse me by the blood which cleanses and keeps on cleansing from all sin. For it's only a separated people whom God can possess. And it's only a cleansed people whom God can possess. Here's the third feature. Here is a picture of a God-possessed people. God wants people. In a sense, he doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your time. He wants you. Then all these things will fall into place. And he says, first of all, you have to be separated. And secondly, you have to be cleansed. And thirdly, he says, you have to be consecrated. Consecrated. There's a tremendous challenge in verse 11, is there not? Let's read it together. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord. That's some verse, isn't it? Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord. Now, someone who's thinking with me, I hope you all are, is saying, well, now, Pastor, God forbids human sacrifice in Scripture. So he does. There is no human sacrifice in Scripture in the sense that a human being is killed to appease the wrath of an angry God. That's heathen. That's pagan. And when Abraham went to do it, God stopped him from doing it. So the Levites were not killed. Not only for the reason that God forbids human sacrifice, but for the reason that God wanted their energy. And you can't get any energy out of someone who's dead. What does it mean? Well, it means in token, in picture. The Levites were saying to God, we are yours. From the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. It is as though we went onto the altar and were bound to its horns and were wholly burned up as an offering to God. That is the kind of offering we are making today. And Aaron never drew a sacrificial knife. And Aaron never slew the Levite. But he offered them as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And that's what was read for us at our children's talk. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer yourselves totally to God. Recently, the Baptist denomination brought out statistics. Now, I'm not all that keen on statistics, but I suppose they do perform some service. But in the statistics of the Baptist denomination, which they have carefully, I'm sure, scrutinized and assembled, we are told that there is in Ireland a worshipping community of 25,000 Baptists. But there is a membership community of 8,000. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I'm not happy about that. God is not happy about that.
that there are 17,000 people who do not feel convinced and convicted enough to throw their all into the respective churches which they attend. That is not the picture of a God-possessed people. That's the picture of a partially possessed people. Is that why some of you are scared to be baptized? Because it conveys to those who look and declares to God that you belong to God, body, soul, and spirit. And you're saying, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And every pastor I know has the same lament. I was talking to one last night. The great numbers of people who are uncommitted. They are not willing to say, Lord, I'm yours. I will give you a 2-hour period on a Sunday. I will give you a £10 note on a Sunday. But I will not give you myself. Now, can I say this to you kindly? Keep your £10 note in your wallet. God does not want it if you have not given him yourself. You see, that's a very dangerous thing to say for a pastor. You might reduce the income of the church. That's too bad. That's what the Bible teaches. You give yourself first to God. And then all these other things will take their place. You'll have no trouble with your money if you're given to God. You will have no trouble with your time if you're given to God. God has you. And everything else will follow on its sequence. Now, before I make myself too unpopular, let's come to the fourth remark. Here's a picture of a people God possesses. They're separated, they're cleansed, they're consecrated, and they're employed. They're employed. You see, if you look at verse 19, I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel to do service. To work. To work. Plenty of work to be done. Now let's be practical about it, just as I finish up this morning. It was impractical for every Israelite to be involved in the service of the tabernacle. Wasn't practical for them. So God picks out the Levites. Not so that they might have a gracious, wonderful time idling about, sitting on their hinder ends and looking up to heaven, as some people think the Lord's work consists of, but to be engaged in spiritual service. And even to do what some of them would have thought was rather menial service, a lot of lifting and carrying. Erecting, dismantling. But that was their job. For when God has a person, he has the energy of that person. He has the energy of that person. So, Christians are the funniest critters I've ever come across. And I come across plenty of them. They seem to think they can give God certain features of their lives and reserve other features to themselves. So they keep their energy. And they say, now I don't mind coming along listening to the pastor. Some Sundays he's not too bad. Some Sundays he does go on a bit, but generally he's not a bad fellow. But don't ask me to do anything. It'd be terrible if I had to do anything. Actually use my brains and use my muscles. And use my legs and use my arms. What a terrible thing to do. No, no. I want to belong to God. I want to go to heaven. I want to be his person. I want to be numbered among his people. But but don't ask me to do anything. But you see, if you do lie in God's hands, if you are possessed by God, you must work. I want to tell you something I never read, but it's here in this chapter. And if you just cast your eyes down from verses 23 to 26, you will see that what God expected, are you listening now? What God expected of the Levites was that they should give him the prime time of their life. We use that phrase, don't we, a lot, prime time. I didn't hear it until about 10 years ago. I want to give the prime time to my children. I want to give the prime time to my wife. Or maybe I want to give the prime time to myself. Well, you see, if you look at verses 20, let's look at them with me. Come on, 23 to 26. God says, I want their prime time. From, verse 24, 25 years old and upwards, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 25, and from the age of 50 shall they cease. Now this puts me over the top a good wee bit. Sorry about that. I'm now 58, heading on 59. But in the age in which this instruction was written, those years between 25 and 50 were the peak years of a man's life. Mentally, physically, every way, he was at his best. And God says, I want the best 25 years of your life. Not when you're retired. Not when you've made your grab and got everything you want. Not when you've established your reputation. I want it when you're at your best. The very best. And you know we're not willing to give God that. Some of you people here this morning have a problem giving God a whole Lord's Day. A big problem. You can't wait until you get out. And we'll not see you back again. And yet God is here asking for 25 years, the best of a man's life. When his energy, mental and physical, they're at their very peak. Oh, you say, Pastor, I can't cope with that kind of Christianity. That's a bit over the top for me. Well, that's all right. Forget about it. Be honest enough. And say, I can't cope with it. But then you're not God's possessed person. And the wonderful thing about the Levites was this, that when they passed 50, God still gave them something to do. The strenuous tasks that demanded great physical and mental ability, well, they were put behind. But God says in verse 25, and from the age of 50 they shall cease waiting upon the service and shall serve no more, but shall serve with their brothers in the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall do no heavy service, but they'll still be involved in my service. Now, are we ready to apply these things I've taught you this morning to ourselves? I'm a bit dismayed at the very little response there is to church membership in this church. I feel I've been talking to some of you for centuries and you've never budged. And you've never given me a valid biblical reason for not budging. I'm a little dismayed at the lack of people coming forward for baptism. And there are people here this morning and they're not baptized and they know they ought to be. And you've got to learn, as we go to sing our closing hymn, God doesn't want things. God doesn't want dress, buildings, sermons, music, money. God wants you. And if you don't give God you, you're giving him what he doesn't want. And keeping back from him the very thing he does want. And may God bless his word to all our hearts. Grant, we pray thee, O God, to at least one person in this congregation today who has not been thine totally, to give himself or herself over into your gracious hand, to be used of God mightily in the days to come, and to be employed constantly in your holy service. Bless us as we wait to remember the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our salvation, and remember those who must go from us, and bring us back again tonight, we pray thee, to hear the challenge of thy holy word, for Jesus' sake.